Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Greg. Good morning. How are y'all doing? We started last week with our first venture into the Psalms, and we are continuing. We're only in Psalm 1, and we only made it about halfway through that Psalm, only six verses. So that's where we are today. We're looking last time at the introductory Psalm placed there, like I said, as a doorkeeper to keep out the wicked. If you cannot do what Psalm 1 says, the other Psalms are not for you. Sorry. You can read them, but they don't apply to you, because if you can't do what this says, then really it's a dividing point and leaves you out. Actually, it leads you straight into Psalm 2, which says the end is near, basically. Looking last time in Psalm 1 at influences, and we're going to continue doing that today. How many of you are not from here? That is, anybody from here, actually? No, I mean born and raised here. Born and raised. You were? Okay. That's close enough. We can let you. That's kind of the way it is here. Rarely do you find anybody. Ivan, I believe you're from here, right? From here, right? Where are you from? Brownsville. See, we got two Brownsville people here, and we had a guy singing a Brownsville song here, right? Chris Sovereign, born and raised in Brownsville, Texas, right? 1939. Well, I'm not from here either. I'm from another part of Texas, southeast Texas. And where we're from in southeast Texas, we do not talk like wherever you're from. Even though I may sound now kind of like you and not too different from you, but I did not at one point in my life sound like I do currently. We have a very strong southern accent. Where I'm from, very similar to southern Louisiana and the rest of the South, and it seems to be emphasized greatly in southeast Texas. Southeast Texas, if you want to talk like a person from southeast Texas, I'll give you some instructions. Here's what you do. Clench your teeth. Never open them. And then talk like that all the time. Here's a common phrase. In Spanish, you say, ¿Cómo estás? How are you doing? Well, here's how you say, how are you doing in East Texas? You say, how's your mama and them? No kidding. I'm not lying to you. That's the way you address people. You never ask about the dad. I don't know what happened to the dad. Hey, man, how's your mama and them? Fine. How's your mama and them? Fine. My accent has cleaned up because my first step in that direction started when I was a summer missionary in college and 20 years old in Australia. I was there for an entire summer and, preaching, and we were leading youth conferences and doing that kind of thing. And I preached in a church there, my first time to preach actually when I was there. And a little old lady, you know, shaking hands after the church, outside the church, she shook my hand and she said, you know, I just really appreciated everything you said. You're a wonderful preacher. She said, I didn't hardly understand anything that you said, but I think that you think that that was a wonderful thing. And of course, you know, I mean, American English, Australian English, there is a difference, but my accent was so heavy, she couldn't understand hardly anything that I said. And so I began to think, you know, am I really like that? I began to listen to myself, and over time, my accent, I'm sure you still hear some of, there's no way to get rid of all the East Texas in me, but I don't talk anything like I did. And the interesting thing, or the confusing thing for me, is that when I go back home for more than a day, I go back to talking like that. And I feel like a hypocrite. It's kind of like, can I not decide who I am? I mean, I'm not, you know, am I not above influence? Should I not be, you know, I'm my own person, right? I should be able to decide how I'm going to talk. But none of us is above influence, are we? None of us. We like to claim we're our own people. We're not. We're influenced, some of us more easily than others, but we are all influenced. And that's why, as I said, Psalm starts off with saying you need to check your influences. In fact, Psalm 1 says two things, basically. You want to live a successful, I should say, blessed life, happy life. Check who's influencing you and make sure that the main influence in your life is God. That's effectively what we read here in Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, how blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Remember, wicked is just a twist. Really means ungodly. Ungodly is just a person who doesn't include God in their lives. Nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is on the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. So basically what it says here, these people, the wicked, the sinners, the scornful, these people are not good for you. They will not, they are not going to be happy. They are not happy people. And if you hang out with them, neither will you be. Learn to be allergic to these people. Learn to be allergic. Learn to keep them at arm's length. Like I said, you're not saying, listen, you don't go to them and say, well, I don't like you anymore. I can't be with you anymore. No, you just keep at arm's length. They're not going where you want to go. They're not headed to a place of being blessed. And so they're not headed where you want to, so you're not rubbing shoulders with them. Be careful who's on the inner circle of your influence. And if you can't be careful, you can't be happy. I'm sorry. Just that's the way it works. I didn't write these rules, but these are the rules to be certain. So you want to be happy, true lasting happiness. Well, take a hard look at your influences. Let me run this down for you. If your people that are surrounding you are lying, cheating, stealing, good for nothing, ne'er-do-well, knuckleheaded losers who otherwise do not follow God with their life, guess who you are? Oh, I'm not like them. Why do you think they hang out with you? Those kind of people don't like people that are headed another direction. So where are you headed? It's not a secret here. It's not rocket science, as they say. It's very simple. Look at those who are surrounding you. These three positions that you find, walking in the counsel of the wicked, standing in the path of sinners, sitting in the seat of scoffers, you will never find a happy person in those places. A happy person won't be found there. They can't be found there. It's simply not possible. If you do these things, as it says not to do, you will definitely not be happy. And it's not just flesh and blood you need to watch yourself with. It's also what you watch on television, movie screen, what you listen to, iPad, iPhone, radio, CDs, etc., etc. What you read, what you listen to, what you watch. These are your counselors. Oh, they don't influence me. Please let me tell you something. There's a whole field of study out there called marketing that we send our kids to college to get degrees and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars. And they don't spend hundreds of thousands of dollars because we think it might work. We know it does. Because they know that if they study the human psyche, they know that they can do certain things in a certain way that you come across their product or whatever it is they're selling. They get you through your eye port or through your ear port. They get you. You're going to buy or you're going to do whatever they're selling, whatever thing they're trying to do, whatever they're pushing, whatever it is, they know they're going to do it. They spend billions of dollars every year on this issue of marketing. And again, they're not spending billions because they think it might work. They know it works. Influence works. That's why they study it. People are changed because of influence. So you're not careful what comes in through your eyes and through your ears. Guess what? It's going to go wherever, you're going to go wherever it leads. And let me add one more to this piece of the puzzle, if you will, final piece, if you will, counseling that you should never listen to. Your own. Your own. Isn't that a common thing today? Oh, don't listen to anybody. We say that today. Don't listen to the influences around you. Listen to what? Your heart. Why would you listen to that filthy thing? It's your first and last time through life. You haven't the foggiest idea what you're doing. As I said, the Bible says we're sheep, and sheep are always what? Dumb. Dumb, dumb, dumb. You cannot educate a sheep. Sheep do not get smarter. They're always the same. So do not listen to you. Jesus, listen, not even Jesus did this. Never. Never did he reference his own mind or his own reasons in making a decision. He always referenced the will of the Father. And you're doing something different. That's not very smart. You're a dumb sheep, and you're not a smart dumb sheep. Don't be that way. Jesus never did this. Never did you find Jesus saying to his disciples, guys, I've been thinking about this. I'm smarter than all y'all. My point of view is better than all of yours. Therefore, we're going to Jerusalem. Never did he talk like that. He always said, guys, we're going to Jerusalem because it is the will of the Father that we do this. Even Jesus didn't reference it. Could he? Could he? Was it not true that he was smarter than all of them? Was it not true that he had a correct viewpoint compared to all of them? Absolutely. But he never referenced that. He always referenced the will of the Father. He always walked with the Father in such a way that he knew what the will of the Father was. And then he did it. It's not difficult. It's not, well, he's the Son of God. He can hear from God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, Jesus says this about his sheep. Like I said, sheep are dumb. Here's what they got, an advantage even over the devil. My sheep, he says, hear my voice. So are you a sheep of Jesus? Here's one thing I know about you. You can hear his voice. See, it's a lie out there that says only certain people can hear God and know what God wants, and the rest of us are kind of left out there. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, my sheep, if you're one of them, hear my voice. You say, well, I can't hear from God. Well, you're not working it. You're not doing what you need to be doing. Because the Bible says you can. You can know the will of God. It's a lie of Satan that says you cannot know the will of God, because Jesus says up front, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. They understand me. So you can know. So again, spent time with the Father so that he knew the will of the Father, and then he did it. It leaves us with, as we said before, a good definition of what the ungodly person is. An ungodly person is a person who simply leaves God out. That's all. Not necessarily a bad person in the sense of the way we understand bad, or wicked in the way we understand wicked. Evil in the way we understand wicked, evil. They may be honest. They may be reliable. They may be good parents, good children, good wives, good employees, good employers. I'm not saying that about them. I'm just saying they, because they are ungodly, because they leave God out. Here's how they leave him out. They don't pray to him. They don't seek him. They don't refer to him, and they don't thank him in their lives. Let me just say this to you very clearly. To deny God is the lowest you can get. You say, well, these people don't deny God. They just leave him out. What's the difference? What's the difference? I can't find any difference. The end's the same. I deny him or I just leave him out. Either way, I end up in the same place. So I surround myself with ungodly people who leave God out. I got myself a problem. I have something I need to immediately do, don't I? There's a direction that I need to change about my life, and it may mean that I need to walk by myself, and that's okay. It needs to be okay. It really does. But again, there's nothing lower than denying God. So this is what the unhappy, this is what the happy person does or doesn't do. He doesn't hang out with these. Now let's see what he does do, verse 2. But his delight, it says, is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Here's the rules, if you will. He knows the rules. There's only one way to live. There's no two ways to live. There's not several ways to God. There's only one way. So he goes by the rule book. He familiarizes himself. He meditates on. He chews on. I can't think of the word. He places the word of God into his life. He ingests, there you go. He ingests the word of God. And that's actually very important. We're going to see in just a second. How many of you have ever been skydiving? Last night I said this, and we had a skydiver. Actually, I think he's in our overflow today. We had one of the instructors for the skydiving in our church last night. And anyway, but I asked this question. Skydiving, anyone? One. Kathy only? Nobody else? Russell, is it because you meant to, or because you just... Military, airborne, is that what you were? Skydiving, it's an interesting sport. I've never been skydiving. I don't really plan to. I don't have anything against it. I just have other ways to spend my money. But you can do this, and here on the island, they do sell skydiving trips. I think they're jumping today, as a matter of fact. But they'll strap you to an instructor, but they have rules. I looked up on the internet the rules. Like I said, I've never done this, so I may be not 100% correct, but these do sound pretty good. These are the rules I found. Found very simple rules. They're very simple rules of skydiving. Number one rule, it said, was not necessarily in this order, but it said the first rule in the list they had, do not curl up when you jump out of the plane into a fetal position. That's what it said. Because it says if you do, your harness will fall off. And I'm thinking that will be bad. I'm thinking that would be bad. The second thing that it says is not only do you not curl up, you do arch your back and hold your arms out to stabilize yourself, apparently, and also so that your harness doesn't fall off, because, like I said, that would be that. It also says stick your legs out in front of you or whatever part of your body that you want to hit the ground first whenever you come near the ground. If it's your face, then that's fine, but it's going to hit the ground first. But whatever you want to hit the ground first, that's what you put out in front of you, and it suggests strongly that you put your legs out there. And then it also says, finally, I think this is probably the most important one, do whatever your jump master tells you to do, and do it immediately. And these are non-negotiable rules, especially if you want to live. So let's say that we did, and this is not reflecting on any local jump master necessarily, but let's say we did go get a group up, and we went down today to the beach, And actually, we have to go to the airport first. But we went down to the beach for instructions about how to jump. And you, down there, there's a guy in Bermuda shorts, no shirt on, ball cap turned backwards. And he says, "Welcome," he says, "to the relativist skydiving school. Here we believe that there are many ways to get to the ground. We respect everyone's desire to skydive. We don't believe in absolute rules," he says. "Just listen to your inner voice. Respond honestly when you leave the plane to your emotions and your feelings. And you will make it to the ground. And we will see you when you hit it." You jump with these people? I got to have me some rules where I'm going to do something like that. Jump out of a plane? A good plane, as they say. A perfectly good plane. Why would I do something like that with no rules? Likewise, you can't be a relativist with life either. It's a one-jump proposition. There's a jillion ways to do it wrong, and there's only one way to do it right. If you're unfamiliar with the rules, you've got yourself a problem. It's not just a matter of I need to be careful who my influences aren't. I also need to be careful who my influences are. Primarily, number one, most importantly, even if I have no one else in my life, I must have the Lord. The Bible, listen guys, is not a tool through which God speaks. I hear us saying that all the time. I disagree with it. The Bible is not something through which God speaks, because I kind of see myself as that. I think God can speak through me. I think God can speak through a lot of situations. But I'm not the Bible. And the Bible's not on the same level as I am. The Bible isn't a tool through which God speaks. That's mistaken. That's poor theology. The Bible is God speaking. It is God speaking. There is a difference, and it's a massive difference. When you read the Word, you are reading the words of God, not words through which God speaks. Poor theology. Very poor. Headed in a bad direction. God is speaking through the Scriptures, so familiarize yourself with the Scriptures. Effectively, what this says is a happy person delights in the Bible. It doesn't say he should delight in the Bible. It doesn't say he might delight in the Bible, or it's a good idea to delight in the Bible. It says this is what he does. So if you can't do this, you can't be blessed. It's that simple. Well, that's too hard. Well, I'm sorry. I guess happiness is not for you. I didn't write this, guys. These are not difficult instructions. Well, how can I? The Bible's so difficult. Well, learn to invest in it. How do you learn to eat the right foods? By making yourself, in most cases, right? It's not hard to eat the wrong foods. You just eat the stuff that comes naturally to you. But to eat right, to do correctly, to take into your life, into your physical body, that which is good for you, you have to train yourself. Same is true with the Scriptures. It's not going to necessarily come natural to you. You're naturally a sinner. You're naturally someone who runs from God. You inherited that from Adam and Eve. So that's your natural tendency. Overcome your natural tendency by discipline. Discipline yourself so that you come to the place where you delight in the Word of God, because a person that delights in the Word of God will be blessed. They will be happy. So again, a happy person needs to look hard at two things. Number one, their influences, and number two, they need to look hard at the Scriptures. Exact same thing, by the way, that's said here in not so many words necessarily. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. There you go. Ungodly influences. They're not going where you want to go if you want to be blessed, that is happy. You want to be sad and miserable and have a lot of regrets, well then knock yourself out. But if that's not what you want with your life, then don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice the same steps. Careful who my influences are. Careful that I know the instructions. That I'm ingesting them. That I'm letting them overtake me in every way. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice why. You got to do these things that you may prove what the will of God is. You say, I'm a child of God. I'm a sheep of Jesus, and yet I can't hear his voice. I can tell you what your problem is. You're not doing what this says. Because you have to do what this says in order to get the last two clauses. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's the three descriptors of one thing, the will of God. They're not three different kinds of will. God didn't have three levels of wills. I hear people say that, and that's ridiculous. That's not what this says. It describes one will as good and acceptable and perfect. Don't you want to be in the line of that? He's in the direction. I want to go in the good and acceptable and perfect way. Who doesn't want to do that, right? Well, apparently a lot of people, because they don't do what the first part says. They just want it to fall on them somehow. And I can tell you what's going to fall on you, and it won't be that. It definitely won't. Basically, the psalm is saying, in order to have lasting happiness, do not listen to ungodly. Do listen to God. You have to do these things. And the latter, by the way, is a litmus test of all happiness. If you cannot listen to God, you cannot be happy. Just can't. You just can't. It's just simply not reachable. It's not going to be there. His word, his voice, is and obedience to it is the litmus test of all happiness. You say, I do listen to God. I do read the Bible. Take a good look at verse 2. And answer me if there anywhere in your Bible that it says read the Bible. Does it say that in there? Is that what it says? I want to make it real clear to you that reading the Bible is not doing what this says, if that's all you do. I read the Bible, it doesn't work. It's because you're not working it, because that's not what this says. It says, his delight is on the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Reading is an assumed part of this, but it's not all of it. All you're doing is reading the Bible, you're not doing what this says, and it won't work. Meditates on his law day and night. That word meditate is extremely important. Like I said, talking about the word ingestion and all this stuff, because that's literally what the word that's being picked out here. The writer of this psalm picked out a word that literally means, in most places in the Old Testament, literally means to chew the cud. Most places it refers to a cattle of some sort that chews the cud. It says you need to take the word of God and you need to chew on it so that you can ingest it. You know, cow only eats a couple times a day, but she chews the grass the whole rest of the day and most of the night. So you can't be reading the Bible all day long. God understands that. He's not asking that. But he is asking you that as you go about your day, that you're chewing it. That you're mulling it over. That you're reflecting on it. That you're looking for applications as you go. Because when you do this, then you'll get everything that the Bible has to offer you. Again, I read the Bible, but it's not working for me. Well, it's because you're not working it. You're not. And he only knew it two times, day and night, right? Only two times. It's real simple. Again, allow me to make this simple for you. If you are not turning away from the ungodly and turning to God's word on a daily basis and throughout the day, then you cannot be happy. You cannot be. If you're not turning away from ungodly influences, whether it be your friends, television, what you read, or what you listen to, and you're not turning daily to God's word and throughout the day, chewing on it and mulling it over, you cannot be happy. You cannot be. You cannot be. And watch what happens to those who listen and obey, who heed what it says in verses 1 and 2. Look at verse 3. He, that is, the one who delights in the law, who meditates on it day and night, he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. Isn't that what you want? It's not difficult. I shouldn't say it's not difficult to figure out. It's difficult to do. You live in a tough world. So here's the plot of the one who heeds this message. Number one, he makes good decisions about his friends. If you can't do that, then this is not for you. If you just simply can't do that. He makes good decisions about his friends because he's following God and listening to God's voice. He makes good decisions about his career. And then number three, and most importantly of all these, he makes good decisions about his spouse. And I just named to you 98% of all the happiness that there is available in this life. Friends, right? Career, spouse. You mess up in one of these, you're going to be in a world of hurt. You just are. You can't afford to. You're getting one jump here, guys. Know the rules and obey the rules. And if you can't, well, then you're going to miss out on everything that God has for you. It's just that way. I'm sorry. I didn't write this. Like I said, 99% of your happiness, 99%. Money comes and goes, right? Health comes and goes. Seasons come and go. But these are the three biggest issues. You cannot be wrong about these things. Therefore, you cannot afford to make mistakes about who my friends are and the time that I spend with God learning and listening to his voice and doing what he says. I cannot make a mistake. I cannot afford it. I'm getting one shot at this. And notice, like I said, it doesn't say that winter doesn't come for this tree. It comes. It doesn't say that the drought doesn't come. It doesn't say that the winds of adversity don't blow on this tree. It doesn't say that. But what does it say about this tree? Irregardless of those things, this tree is evergreen. And that's a great description of a person who follows these things. They are evergreen. You know people like this. I hope you are one. They are evergreen. Doesn't matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter the political climate. Doesn't matter all these things that are people are blown around by, right? They're not blown around. They are evergreen because they heed the words of this psalm. They do it. It's not difficult. It's simple. Great description of those who follow what this says. And not only are they evergreen, they are also a blessing to others. Notice what it says. They yield their fruit in season. What is a fruit for? Do trees eat their own fruit? No. What is fruit for on a tree? The passerby. They're not only evergreen, they're a blessing to others. You've been around people like that. You've been around people that are prickly and thorny, right? Nobody wants to be around people like that. And you've been around people who do what this says. And they're such a blessing. They're such a blessing. But notice what happens, verse 4, for those who don't heed. The wicked are not so, says. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. Formerly planted tree, blown away, it says, is the opposite. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the assembly of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Watch what happens to those who don't heed this. Now, I'm not familiar in my culture at all, and probably not in yours, with the whole issue of chaff, but I am familiar with tumbleweeds. Friendly planted tree, right? Or a tumbleweed. Very different and yet the same. Why? Same things happen to both. Winter happens to both, doesn't it? Drought happens to both, doesn't it? Winds of adversity blow over both of them. The tree, evergreen, always fruitful. Tumbleweed, psh, gone. Gone. You know people like this. You've been one of these, maybe. Gone. I always wondered about so-and-so. I could never figure him out. He could never make the right decision. You know anybody like that? He can never seem to do the right thing. He can never find the right people. He can never, 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 never. Wonder no more. I'll be willing to bet if you splash his life up against what this says, he's not doing this. She's not doing this. It's not, like I said, it's not rocket science, guys. It's very simple. In a difficult world, tough to do, I understand, but we have to make a decision here. Is this what we want? You want to be blown around? That is an option. It is your prerogative. You want to be unrooted? You want to be dry and prickly? Or do you blessing to no one? That is your option. You can choose that. You want to be firmly planted, evergreen, and a blessing to others? You can choose that. Pick a side, like we talked about last time. Pick a side. I ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes with me. We come to a conclusion this morning. God is gracious to us. He's gracious because he offers us salvation, as Pastor Greg said, through God's Son. Just because I become a Christian, accept Christ as personal Savior, there's not some mark on me that keeps me from destroying my life, that keeps me now from making bad decisions. No, now I have a home in heaven, but it may be possible, even with a home in heaven, to live an ungodly life because I make bad decisions. Because I'm not careful of who my influence is and what my influences are. I'm not careful to delight myself and meditate and reflect upon the Word of God. I'm not careful to do those things. And so I wind up with a lot of regrets. Praise God that even in that, God is gracious. He gives us a chance to turn around. And that chance is offered to you today and me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that great grace. Today's a new day. We can make new decisions and go a new direction. Lord, I thank you that you don't offer us temporary happiness. You offer us lasting happiness. something that'll be here no matter what the seasons are, no matter what the adversity there is, no matter what difficulties there may be. Things like this come and go. But your happiness remains. It stands. And we don't stand because of our own ability. We stand because you're the one that planted us. You're the stream of water. You're the one that makes us evergreen. You're the one that bears the fruit in our lives, God. Help us, God, to connect ourselves to you. God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.